Genesis to Revelations is God's word. And there's power. Those things God said will come to pass. See, there's no doubt to me there's a heaven. There's no doubt to me that when I leave this earth, there's a place for God's people to go. Why? Because his word says that. I don't have to experience it to believe it. I don't have to even see it to believe it. I trust God at his word. If his word says it, that's good enough to me. Some people say that's just foolishness. That's just blind faith. That's just, you know, blah, blah, blah. And actually, there's no such really expression as blind faith or any truth to that. Really think about that. Blind faith. To have faith, you got to see something. So how can it be blind faith? If you really have faith, you got to see it, don't you? Or it's not faith. When you say, I've got faith in something, that means you see it. You see it coming. You believe it's going to happen. You see the future of that. You see God's hand on that. But somehow by faith, you believe if God, if you said it, you're going to do it. Whatever you said, God, you are able to perform. So we're going to take three scriptures if I get through them all tonight, and it may change my direction a little bit as we get into this. But Matthew 8, beginning with verse 5. Matthew 8, verse... I didn't put the scriptures in, did I? I'm sorry. Y'all just follow along. I put that in. The melody was practicing the song, and I don't want to put my scripture in, so I'm sorry. You going to drag it in for me, Melanie? Thank you. It's fast. Matthew 8, beginning with verse 5, says, now this is the story of a centurion, a soldier in the military, who had a very sick servant, a dying soldier. So he was coming to Jesus to ask for help. It's like a sensible thing. Did not say this soldier was a believer. Didn't say he believed in Jesus Christ as Messiah. Didn't say he was a follower of his message. But he believed in what he could do. So this soldier comes to Jesus, beginning with verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion said, now this is so profound. The centurion answered, and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. This soldier understood that Jesus, it wasn't Jesus' flesh where the power was at. It was in the authority that he was, his spoken word. He said, Lord, you ain't got to come to my house. I mean, think about this. You know how many times I've ever had a call as a pastor? Hey, Pastor James, so-and-so's in the hospital. I want to let you know. Well, I'll come. No, no, don't come. Just speak the word. I've never had that happen. Just speak the word. You ain't got to come by. Just speak the word, Pastor. Jesus, think how he must have been so astonished. Here's a centurion who lays no credit to following me, but has an understanding that I have enough power that just if I speak it, it'll happen. He'll be healed. You got him in there? Okay, what verse are we on? Anybody know? Verse 8. Go to verse 8. 8. You got space bar. Space bar. Okay, space bar again. You went backwards. All right, anyway, speak the word only. Okay, there we go. And my servant shall be healed. Verse 9. Here's why he said that. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And if I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this and doeth that, he doeth it. When I say do it, he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Let me give you a perfect example of a personal experience I had at Walmart with this very verse. It was not a very good morning for me. I walked in one morning. My manager left me in directions the night before of what to do. We were changing out a set, and they were putting all the clearance candy, taking it off the shelves and resetting it, and it said, put the candy on shelved carts, not shopping buggies, but shelved carts we had in the back. I said, I got you. Well, you know what? I did what I was supposed to have done. I got the manager that night. I said, make sure all this candy goes on shelved carts, not buggies. shelved carts. Okay, got it. So I went home. I'm walking with my manager that morning, we're chewing the fat, and we come around that corner, and guess what? Guess what the candy was in? Buggies. My manager, we had a recap report. He rolled it up. He didn't show this much, and he was so intimidating, my gosh. He rolled it up. Sharon knows what I'm talking about. When he leans forward and he's walking, he's mad. When he starts walking like that, he threw his recap on the floor. Boom! I told you shelved cars, James. He threw it down. He goes, "What is this?" I said, "Charles, I told them shelved carts." He said, "And I told you." And he walked off. This story reminds me of that. Okay? He spoke it, and I should have done it, and I did do it. But his word to me is more powerful, apparently, than my word to the manager at night, because he didn't listen. All he should have done was follow my direction, but he didn't. There's a lot of power in our spoken word. It can make or break your day, believe me. So this centurion said, "Lord, just speak it." He says, "I'm a man of authority. If I tell a soldier, give me 20, he'll give me 20. No question about it. So God, you got so much authority that if you just say it, I believe it's going to happen." Well, how much of the Bible is God's word to us? All of it. And how much of it we don't really use? We don't really exercise it. We become so complacent of accepting things life gives us instead of really going to the throne of God and saying, "God, I'm in your kingdom. Yes, cancer's, it may be my body, but cancer's not part of your kingdom. Healing's part of your kingdom. Discouragement's in the world, but God, discouragement's not in your kingdom. Tribulation's in the world, but God, you said you overcome the world. Tribulation's not in your kingdom." We don't operate and live in the words that God's given us here in the earth when they really are there for us and they're available for us to use. And we just, including myself too, we just don't. We just take things and take things and take things and accept things. The devil keeps grinding us down and we get weaker and weaker until we snap. And all along, here's God's word. Don't you know? Read my word. My word says all things work out for good to them who love me, who are the called according to the purpose of God. And when we know that, we can even go through tribulation with a smile, realizing, God, your word cannot fail. The same word that raised you from the dead holds me up every day of my earthly life. It holds me up. It holds my family. It holds my seed. It holds my mind and holds my soul, and it holds my health. Your word holds me, God. It's that powerful. It holds me, and it helps me. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what's around the next curve, but God does. And his word gets us through that if we'll rely on it. So Jesus was so impressed with his faith. He goes on to say in verse 11, "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." This is talking about the Gentiles. "But the children of the kingdom," talking about the ones he called, "will be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The ones he came to wasn't receiving him. God will bring ones from the outside, which is us, to receive his word. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as thou hast believed, so it will be done unto you." And his servant was healed in the same hour. A dying man of palsy in the same hour was restored because Jesus spoke the word, because the centurion believed the word of God. Faith. There's still something about having faith in a faithless generation. Faith is still a very important part of our walk with God. I'm talking about more faith than just faith I'm saved, faith I'm going to heaven, but faith to battle every day and faith to realize the doctor is not the last voice. You know, the lawyer is not the last voice. This isn't the last voice. But God can restore and God can do a work if we will believe him at his word. We believe him. You know, I've used this example many times. Joe Brown was at the fire department, fingers crinkled up, and Joe Brown, you know, come to me one Sunday and said, "You know what?" So I've had these fingers crinkled up, and he shake her hand like that, and he couldn't extend them out. And he said, "You know, I'm going to begin to," he said, I've started praying about that. Started praying God would heal me. And I'll never forget it. I was at the little outside fire door on Sunday mornings like I am here. And he come in one Sunday morning, bebopping in. He says, "Look, Pastor, I get my fingers halfway out now." A few weeks later, he come back. "Look, Pastor, they're almost there." A week or two later, "Look, Pastor, healed." uncrookened his fingers. God took what the flesh couldn't produce and gave it life again. He took the withering hand. He took a fig tree bearing no fruit and called fruit to hang on it again. That's what our God can do. It all was about Joe's faith in his God. Maybe medicine can't fix it. Maybe doctors say whatever. But my God can fix it. Oh, what a testimony. And Joe's got another wonderful story, and he's never shared it with the church. Well, he may have. One time he had many ulcers within his body. Many. 7 or 8 at one time, I think you had. Eating you alive. He went on the lake on a boat one day and began to pray to God for those ulcers. He would eat up with them. Went on a boat, talked to God, just out there, him and God, talking, praying. Remember the story, right? You said God healed you on that lake. Healed you. Went back, all the ulcers were gone. All of them are gone. Now, church, I just want to say this. If God listens to anybody from the state of Ohio, he will certainly listen to a Southern, because we in the Bible Belt down here. I mean, think about that. Joe's got a wonderful testimony of how God's done things in his life. Faith. Do we believe? I remember I had bursitis, and it's come back on me again the last few years in this shoulder right here. And there's certain movements that it's really difficult. And I had it in my 20s. And I was getting ready to go on a trip with Walmart, I think, out to Dallas that time, and it was in such pain I could hardly bear it. I went in my bedroom at home. You remember that, man? I went in my bedroom and shut the door. And I got on my knees. I said, God, I don't want to go on this trip for a week in this much pain. I need to be free from this so I can function on this trip. I said, I'm not coming out of this room to you heal me, God. I'm not coming out of this room to you heal me. And I just stayed in my room and began to pray and praise the Lord and sing psalms unto him. And I began to move my arm as I was praying. And I moved my arm. And God did completely take it away. And for many, many, many years, I had no pain. Only recently did I have pain. And probably because of my part-time job is why I've got that again. But for many years, it was gone, and God healed me of that. People say, well, you shouldn't do that. I wasn't being arrogant or boastful or like, God, you got to do it. I don't think I was being irreverent. I was just saying, God, I know you can heal me, and I'm going to stay here until I'm healed because you want to heal me. Didn't Jacob wrestle with an angel and says, I ain't letting you go till you touch me? And so, of course, he always had a little hurt the rest of his life. Maybe that's why I've got this. I'll heal you, and I'm going to remind you who healed you. But I give you that pain every now and then. But I've seen that. We've got to return back to believing that God's word is enough and believing he can still move our mountains, he can calm our storms, just like he does in the next scripture I'm going to read. I think it's the next one I'm going to read. This is in Luke 5. Yeah, well, it's not the same one, but it's right. Luke 5, 2. They saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, talking about Jesus, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. What had happened is, Jesus had all these people around him, and in order to get out a little bit so everybody could hear him and see him, he launched out of the sea so everybody could kind of see him. So he's out there teaching the people. Then he says, oh, thank you, I'm sorry, I know you turned it. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Simon said, Master, we have toiled all the night. Now, Joe can relate to this because Joe is an avid fisherman, was part of a fisherman club for many years, president or something, fisher's club. He knows about fishing. Now, imagine, Joe, you're on Lake Norman. You've been out there for 9-10 hours all night. And you hadn't caught, I mean, you ain't got a goldfish. You ain't got nothing. And Jesus says, Joe Brown, launch out and drop your net. And Joe's response is, okay, Lord, I've worked all night, and I've taken nothing in. But nevertheless, I love that word. Say that word, nevertheless. Isn't that a cool word? It's a cool word, isn't it, Mary? Nevertheless. It's like three words in one. Never, the, and less. I have taken nothing, nevertheless. In other words, I'm not taking it, but God, at your word, I'll drop this net. Now, Simon knew his business. He knew. He did it for a living. Lord, there's nothing out there. I've been out there all night. Believe me. There have been no little flashing dots on my screen going near my boat all night. Nothing's there. But you know what? At your word, I'll drop it. Look what happened when he listened to God's word. When they had done this, now notice they had to do it. They had to do what God said. They had to drop the net. They enclosed a great multitude, and I know this is grammatically incorrect, of fishes, and their net break. They went from catching nothing to their nets wouldn't even hold them because of God's word. And they beckoned, they cried out, they hollered to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships, and they began to sink. I mean, you're talking about God showing off. You're talking about a big mouth bass. Two boats are going down, nets are breaking. I mean, my, can you imagine Simon's face? This was his payday. Can you imagine going to work? Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have a paycheck for you this week. Oh, then 10 minutes later, hey, we got a paycheck plus a huge bonus. Wow, that's what happened. This was their life. You're talking about a payday. I bet they took their wives to Outback that night. They begin to sink. Fish camp, yeah. Cab's galley, yeah. Is that all I got on that one? Okay, yeah. They begin to sink. All this happened because they believed God and his word. God, you know better than my situation. You know better than my circumstance. I can't see it, but you said it. Enough for me. I may not feel it, but you told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. It may not be what I think, but if you said it, why does that do that? It's been good all this time. I trust you more than I trust what I can or can't see. I trust you. Your word is good enough for me. You know, the Bible says that a good reputation is far above rubies. You know, a good name is more precious than rubies. And something I tried to instill in my family, my kids, that, you know, your reputation, your word goes with you. You know, and I've built a lifelong, being born and raised here in Statesville, North Carolina, I've built a lifelong 44-year relationship with this town, people that know me. And people's always running to my son. Oh, I know your dad. 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 You know, because I've tried to establish that my word, the integrity, means something. Even when others may lie, it means something. You know, I can go into my local bank and they know me. And whatever I need within, you know, financial reason they can, they're going to give me what I need because they know me. See, your word is something that once you lose that, you lose respect of others. The good thing about God's word is it never lets us down. And it never lies to us, and it never fails us. This word transcends generations. The same word that Peter was writing and Paul was writing for that time period still applies all these years later, 2,000 years later, the same word is still doing what it said it would do. Church, I still believe what Thessalonians says, that one day the dead in Christ shall rise and we shall join him and we shall meet him. And the, you know, all of that future, all of that hope, all of that resurrection, all of that appointment with our destiny is going to come to pass because God has said it. I don't care how many naysayers say there's no heaven, there's no God, there's no afterlife. You know, we're just, you know, there's so much crazy teaching out there now. But God's word, I still trust it more than anything else. When I can't trust CNN, I can't trust Fox, I can't trust MSNBC, I can't trust any news, I can't trust anything, I can go to God's word and know, God, you're not going to let me down. Your word's solid. And I trust it. And if you said no weapon formed against me shall prosper, then whatever ISIS tries to do, it can't prosper if I'm your child, not against my life. I take your word more value than I take what the fear that's trying to be created in this world. God's got us. One more story I want to read. This is in Matthew 14. I thought about my trip when I did this. The ship was now in the midst of the sea. This is Matthew 14, verse 24. The ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. The wind was blowing hard. It was stormy. It was gaily. It was wavy. It was, you would have needed some, you know, motion sickness medicine. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I would have liked to have saw that when I was out there. I can tell you that. That gave me a lot of comfort. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Natural reaction. But straightway, immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me, command me, call me." Now, notice what Peter said. Peter didn't want to do a thing until God's word was spoken. Smart man. "If it be you, bid me, command me, call me to come unto you on the water." And he said, "Come." That's all he said. "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I want you to imagine this is an historical event recorded as a valid event that truly happened. This disciple getting out of a boat, walking on top of the water and not sinking. How could he possibly do that? Because God's word had done a line for that to happen. His word had been spoken. Come. Well, you know what? He wasn't about to sink at that point because Peter's faith was so elevated. I mean, would any of y'all be that strong to say, "Jesus, if that's you on the Atlantic Ocean, tell me to come. I'll come out there." I don't think none of y'all would do that. I wouldn't. I say, "Jesus, waiting here for you with my hands lifted high on this ship." You know, I wouldn't be going to him. This shows, I think, the faith, and I don't know, something about Peter to say, "If that's you, I want to walk on the water. Let me come to you. If it's really you, I want to do what you're doing." Wow. And there he goes. He's walking along. Don't know how far he walked, but he's walking toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, when he saw that wind being boisterous and being just, you know, blowing everywhere, saw the waves, he was afraid. Now, the opposite of faith is fear. Fear cancels out faith, and faith cancels out fear. Always. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, think about this. I've always read this to think, you know, well, Jesus has been kind of hard on Peter, ain't he? I mean, he walked on water. And you're telling me he had little faith? But he didn't have faith to the end, did he? He didn't have faith to complete what God had spoken. He said, "Come to me." He didn't come to him. He sank before he got to him. That's why he's saying, "I told you you'd be okay. I told you to come to me." And the moment you got your eyes off your faith and on your fear, then you lost that. Why did you not believe what I said would happen? Why didn't you believe it? Why didn't you believe you could walk all the way to where I was? You didn't believe that all the way. You believed it part of the way, but you didn't believe it all the way. Our faith needs to be executed in such a way that we fully follow the plan of God to the end. We don't stop halfway when we get scared. And I'll tell you, I know I'm the worst. I've been very ashamed of myself, actually. I ain't told Manly this. I've been very ashamed of myself for the experience we had on the ship where I become such a big baby. Because I let fear take a hold of me. I truly did. I look out that window, and we stopped in the middle of the ocean. Boats ain't supposed to stop unless you're fishing. It's a cruise ship. You know what cruise means? It means you're moving. Do you have your car on cruise control and it being idle? No, when you're moving. And so I look out, and a couple of sides eating dinner. I said, "That's not good, is it?" He said, "No, that's not good." Yeah. But then Melon did remind me. Says, "Well, James, we're not sinking. I mean, it's because we stopped don't mean we can't just float." And I thought, "Oh, yeah, you're right. We can still float. Unless a hole gets punched in it. Then we're going to go down." Yeah. That's exactly right. That's what I said. And so, but seriously, I thought about this when back. I let fear, I should have known we was going to be okay. I should have known that. But it's amazing how quick your faith can be canceled out when the storm arises or when a situation arises that you're not comfortable with. And I remember thinking, why am I so afraid? God, I should have more faith in this. was my first time on a cruise, first experience. I got a little thing, you know, that gives me a little kudos to say, you know what. And, you know, there's black smoke coming out of the engine room, and I call an alpha all on deck. I mean, that's not a good thing. And, you know, you start hearing the Titanic sound in your background, and, you know, you just, you know, the servers in the dining room are looking out the window like, yes, that ain't never good. The help's looking out the window. Are you kidding me? If they're looking out, we're in trouble. Because they're trained to be calm at all times, right? And they're looking out the window. I'm like, what is going on? The captain was rushing or something. Couldn't understand. I couldn't understand nothing he was saying. I'm like, my gosh, give me some. I can't understand what you're saying. Melanie went on like, she was like Floyd on Andy Griffith. Remember the one where the criminals got Barney and Floyd in the little cabin? And they're cooking the hamburgers. And Barney trying to get away from the convicts. And all that's happening, and Floyd comes out. Well, I hope you're happy the hamburgers are burnt. That was Melanie. Forget we're dying. You want cheesecake? Are you kidding me? We got to tell our kids bye. Oh, my gosh. No phone signal. I didn't have my mama. Are you kidding me? It's a disaster. And she wants cheesecake. Gosh. I know. Oh, I could, and I felt so bad. Melanie was just so calm, and here I am, like, oh my gosh, what? You know, I just, oh, that's right, she did. Thank God for that. You about had a permanent one. That's exactly right. Oh my gosh, that's the last verse. Okay, God's word, believe it. It's enough. Let's get back to believing what God said in His Word is true, and that it's more powerful than any word spoken by man or any situation that arises. His Word's more powerful. Start believing Him again. God can still heal. He can still deliver and save and set free and restore and repair and mend and fix. God can do whatever He wants. He can save us from all of our sorrows and troubles and give us joy and peace and power. God can still do all that. We've got to exercise that and that song really got to me tonight. The same one that raised Him up now lives inside of me. Wow. We don't live that way, church. We don't live like there's a Savior, a living Savior living inside of us. We need to do better at that. All of us do. And walk as powerful Christians that God calls to be. Okay. Well, that is my message. Glad you came tonight on this beautiful Wednesday.